Land from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau. I'm Yvonne Crumry. The Greens Creek Silver Mine on Admiralty Island is looking to expand. In March, the National Forest Service put out an environmental assessment to look at a few different expansion plans. Public comment on those plans is open until next week. But as KTOO's Anna Caney reports, some environmentalists say expansion should be stalled until more research is done on the mine's heavy metal contamination.
The Hecla Greens Creek Mine on Admiralty Island is making plans to expand their waste storage facility. It's a crucial step in extending the life of the mine. But some environmentalists have questions about the mine's impact in the Tongass National Forest, where it operates.
Are these metals bioaccumulating up the food chain? You get fugitive dust. And is that lead being taken up by the plants, and then in turn being concentrated through the deer and the eagles and this and that? And what's happening to those populations?
That's Guy Archibald. He's a contract scientist for the nonprofit Friends of Admiralty Island. And one of their chief concerns is fugitive dust. In simple terms, that's the dust that blows off of mining waste, and it can carry traces of toxic metals like lead with it. Greens Creek is known as the nation's largest silver producer, but they also mine gold, zinc, and lead. When all of that valuable material is extracted, the leftover rock is stored in something called tailings. They're basically piles of ground rock that are managed by the mine, and that's where fugitive dust comes from. Without more space to store tailings, the mine's operation could end within a decade. This proposed expansion would be the third since the mine opened in 1989. Mike Satry manages government and community relations for Greens Creek. He says that from the mine's perspective, the expansion is pretty routine.
It's really just a continuation of managing our tailings facility the way we always have, but simply letting us add a little bit more space.
The Forest Service looked at four different options for the expansion in an environmental assessment. That came out in March. The public has the opportunity to comment on those options until next week. There are a few outright opponents to the mine's continued operation, especially since Greens Creek is one of Juneau's most prominent private employers. But environmental groups like Friends of Admiralty Island are calling for more science before the plans move forward.
We need more baseline information that compares the existing situation to what it was before the mine started.
That's John Neary. He's the president of Friends of Admiralty Island. And he sums up the key concern that many environmentalists share at this stage. Greens Creek already does a lot of monitoring. They check water quality, sediment, and tissue samples from marine animals like mussels or sea worms. But some say that monitoring doesn't do enough to compare current conditions to pre-mining conditions. In other words, they say there's not enough science to understand the cumulative impacts of the mine. And some are especially concerned about Hawk Inlet. It's an important source of subsistence food for Juneau and Angoon. And the existing tailings storage sits nearby. Neary says the existing monitoring doesn't do enough to ensure the health of those subsistence resources.
One of our top concerns is that there are people that eat whatever it is that occurs in the marine environment, right? There are crabs and clams and halibut and seals. So it needs to be safe enough for human consumption.
Hawk Inlet was at the center of a debate just recently. Archibald released a study on behalf of Friends of Admiralty Island. It claimed a 50% increase in lead levels for the inlet based on an analysis of clamshells collected there. The study attributes that increase to fugitive dust. These findings attracted the attention of both the mine and the state. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation publicly called the clamshell study misleading in a press release last month. But the state and the mine cited long-term studies of clam tissue samples in the inlet. They show no increase in lead. And Satry says he's confident in that data.
There's an overall conclusion that the mine is not significantly, you know, impacting Hawk Inlet. And that's been a recurring message from the agencies, both both state and federal.
But concerned stakeholders say tissue samples don't speak to the health of the whole marine ecosystem. For instance, there's no regular monitoring of seals. And that's an important subsistence resource. Archibald says he hopes the mine will consider a more robust population study to prove the health of the inlet.
You know, this is the most profitable silver mine, I believe, in the United States, not the world. They need to be able to do a better job here.
According to Satry, Greens Creek has a good track record when it comes to meeting environmental quality standards. He says they want to continue that.
We understand that there are stakeholders who are concerned, you know, about impacts, and we've met with them and sat down with them, and you know, we just want to be able to continue to do what we've always done there, make sure that we're responding to any of our agency or stakeholder concerns, and give us certainty moving forward.
Public comments can be submitted online or in person at the Forest Service Ranger Station in Juneau. The public comment period will remain open now through Thursday, May 8th. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
The Sullivan Arena in Anchorage is no longer Alaska's biggest homeless shelter. Capacity was slashed on Monday down to a quarter of what it had been for much of the winter. But the exodus wasn't sudden. Many had already left in the last week, only a trickle of people walked out for the last time on Monday. Some people got last-minute housing placements, and some caught flights out of town to stay with friends or relatives, and many others left looking for a place to camp. Alaska Public Media's Jeremy Shea reports.
On Monday morning, David Marsit was on the main floor of the Sullivan Arena looking frazzled. He was packing up his belongings in a pair of heavy-duty plastic totes as shelter workers disassembled cots around him.
I'm feeling pretty chaotic right now, to say the least.
He had a work shift beginning soon. He wasn't sure how to keep his stuff safe or where he'd be sleeping at the end of the day.
And I don't want to lose my job. I'm trying to keep it. So I'm doing the best I can to try to make this work. But, you know, getting re-evicted is not helping matters. So that's where I'm at.
Marsit was one of 166 people who stayed at the Sullivan on the last night before an assembly policy took effect, limiting capacity to only the 90 most vulnerable people. Elected officials and the Sullivan's neighbors hope this marks the beginning of the end of the arena, serving as the city's de facto mass homeless shelter of last resort since the COVID-19 pandemic first reached Alaska more than 3 years ago. Marsit had been at the Sullivan for about a week, and he was not sentimental about its doors closing on him.
It's been a place to sleep. That's it.
Still, he wishes he had a little more time to get back on his feet without having to scramble. There just isn't enough alternative shelter space or affordable housing for everyone in Anchorage, which means a lot of people will have to make do outdoors, camping in public spaces. It was an uneventful transition on Monday. Alexis Johnson, the municipality's homelessness coordinator, contrasted it with the abrupt closure last summer.
Last year, we shut the doors, we locked them up, and we said, hey, we have transportation, it's going to Centennial, but if you're not on that bus, you just can't stay here. And so this year, because we kind of have this drop down, it's offered us a little bit more of a graceful transition for people to slowly roll out.
Tables of donated clothes and odds and ends were among the last stops for clients leaving the Sullivan on Monday morning.
And we're just letting all the clients pick through them and see if there's any warm gear, any outdoor stuff that they want or need before they go hit the streets, unfortunately.
By lunchtime, Marsit was outside the Sullivan, wolfing down a slice of pizza. His employer was flexible about letting him start later than usual, and he worked out storage for his stuff for another 24 hours. He still didn't know where he'd be sleeping at the end of the day. Maybe a hostel, he thought. He hopped on his bike and pedaled off to his work shift. In Anchorage, I'm Jeremy Shea.
Candidate Al Gross shook up last year's special election for U.S. House when he withdrew from the race in June, citing personal reasons. The Alaska Division of Elections removed his name from the special general ballot, but did not replace him. Friday, the state Supreme Court confirmed the Division of Elections made the right call. A lot about last year's special election was confusing, especially since it was the first one conducted by ranked choice vote. But the rule the Division of Elections invoked, a 64-day time limit for replacing candidates on the ballot, pre-existed Alaska's new voting system. If a candidate withdraws within 64 days of election, no substitution is allowed. That's how the division saw it, so the agency decided not to advance fifth-place finisher Tara Sweeney. A group of voters sued, citing their fundamental right to select their political representatives. The Supreme Court ruled against them. The court's opinion has no impact on the special election results, and it isn't a surprise. That's because the court issued a bare-bones ruling in June to the same effect, allowing the special general election to take place in August with only three names on the ballot. The 30-page opinion is the justices' effort to explain their reasoning for that call. While they affirmed the division's decision not to put Sweeney on the list, the ballot, the justices faulted with the division for removing Gross's name. They said a strict interpretation of the 64-day window would have required election officials to leave his name in place despite his withdrawal. It was slightly off point since the voters who filed the legal challenge didn't try and stop the removal of Gross's name, only the addition of Sweeney's. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 49 degrees and raining. More heavy rain is on the forecast for tonight. Tomorrow, that turns into a chance of rain with a high of 49 degrees and a low of 38 degrees. Thursday, maybe sunny with a high of 50 degrees. You're listening to KTOO.